Yo, Short Box Nation, this is Botter clocking in with a very quick announcement to make before we get on with the show. I'll be in Chicago attending C2E2, and if you'll be in Chicago attending the convention too, it means that you have a very unique opportunity to attend a live podcast show like never before. I'll be hosting a comic podcast crossover live show on Friday, April 26th. I'm going to be joined by very good friends of the show and frequent guest co-hosts like Chris Hacker from the Oblivion Bar podcast and Greg Ligtig from the First Issue Club. We're recording a live podcast show that's celebrating the best comics of the year so far. We're going to talk about the creators that are absolutely crushing it. And considering the people involved with the panel, you can expect a great time. You can expect the typical brand of comedy and entertainment. If you ever heard any of the other episodes where Chris and Greg have been guest co-hosts, you can expect that on steroids. So once again, if you're attending C2E2 this weekend and you're looking for something to do or you need a break from the convention floor and standing in lines, I highly encourage you to come sit in for this live podcast show taking place the Friday morning of the convention at 11:15 a.m. I'll have links to the room and the rest of the panel information in the show notes. So check that out if you'll be in Chicago. Come on out, sit in on the panel, and have a good time. Hopefully I get to meet you. With that being said, let's get this show started.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the Short Box Podcast, Season 6.
The Short Box Podcast was recorded before a live internet audience.
Yo, Short Box Nation, welcome back. This is episode 325. New friends and first-timers, yo, welcome to the show. You're now tuned into the Short Box Podcast, automatically inducting you into the Short Box Nation. My name is Botter Milligan, and today we'll be talking about Loki, specifically Kid Loki, from the 2011 series Journey into Mystery by Kieran Gillen and Doug Braithwaite. Why Loki? Because Tom Hiddleston will be reprising his role as Loki in his own Disney Plus series starting Wednesday, June 9th. I thought it was Friday. It's actually Wednesday, June 9th. So the same time that this episode is out, Loki episode 1 is also available on Disney Plus. Today we'll talk about one of the source materials that we think the show maybe might reference. But first, allow me to introduce my crew here with me in the Short Box studio today. Starting with the man who sits on my left, a.k.a. the El Conquistador de los Comics, Cesar Cordero.
Gungala!
Shout out to Trey Namo for that. Also in the Short Box studio today is Edmund Danzar, better known as the EdBot 5000.
Yep.
And last but not least is the Lady Sif to our Warriors 3 pod crew. Oh, it's Ashley Lanny Hoy.
Hey guys,
this is more hella.
I feel like that.
Yeah, I was definitely a hella.
I was close. Actually, this week's comic spotlight was selected by you, and I was curious why I picked this one out of all the Loki stories. Respectfully.
So it was hard to pick which one because I feel like there wasn't a right answer. So I went with the one that came out when that first Disney Thor movie came out, which was like Marvel's like kind of rebranding of Loki. Like he came back as a kid. So I decided that that was a good starting point for this.
Is it 2010? Right?
Well, this is 2000.
It was around then, 2010, 2011, when the Thor movie came out. Yeah. And they started with the kid Loki.
They started drawing him like Tom.
Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Like Darlene from Roseanne.
Well, in a connected way, I noticed that some of the variant issues that we'll be covering today, they had like movie variants.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I think issue 622 had like a Tom Hiddleston Loki variant. Mm-hmm. The next issue was Odin variant and all of that stuff. So, but I want to give a big shout out to our Patreon subscribers, aka the best patrons a podcast could ask for. We cannot maintain and grow the show without their support. So if you like what we're doing and you want to support our content, consider joining our Patreon community. You can click the link in the show note for a list of perks and rewards you can enjoy when you join the Short Box Elite. And lastly, look, if you're listening to this show, it's probably safe to assume you already subscribed to the show on your favorite podcast app, or at least know how to subscribe. So do me a favor and tell a friend to subscribe. Word of mouth is just as helpful as giving us your fucking money.
Oh, thank you. I was like, well, you're getting soft. Tell a friend. What is this, the psychic network? Fucking Dionne Warwick motherfucker rolling up in here begging people. Listen, man, give us your fucking money. That's how that works.
And if not, then you at least tell someone about the show.
Jesus Christ.
Like I said, word of mouth, just as helpful.
Friends can be lovers. Lovers. as can be.
I like the energy in here. I like it. All right, let's go ahead and get this show going, starting with a quick spoiler warning. If you haven't read the comic or you're worried about a spoiler that might ruin the show for you, which I doubt that we've come across any spoilers that will, but just in case, you can still pause this episode and come back when you're ready. We'll be discussing Journey into Mystery number 622 through 626. It happens to be a Fear Itself tie-in, and I know it's collected in Journey into Mystery Volume 1, which is probably available at a local comic shop by you. But if digital is your thing, I know it's available on the Marvel Unlimited app, and it might be available on Comixology for purchase. For those of you unfamiliar with the series, the particular issues that we'll be discussing today finds Loki, who's now reborn as a child. He's in the middle of a war between Odin's army and the Serpent, who happens to be Odin's brother and the god of fear itself. Loki has to journey into the underworld with the hope of besting the Serpent's devious plot for world domination. Ashley, were you reading this when it came out in 2011?
I was reading it shortly after it came out. I think whenever the first volume came out is when I grabbed it.
Did you always like Loki? Like, how does this? How did your infatuation with Loki happen? That's what I'm trying to figure this out.
Ever since it was like elementary school, because
wrinkly old.
You
want a fucking crusty Loki,
like smoker's lips Loki,
the scaly gold scale.
It was the Norse mythology. Like, I got really into that in like fifth grade. I had to do a project, and I got really into Norse mythology. Oh. And then I saw it was in comics, and I was like, oh, I like comics too. So that was my thing. But like, you know, whenever they got Tom Hiddleston like as the role, of course it was like, well, this isn't the Loki that I know.
Interesting.
Hashtag not my Loki.
Yeah.
What is the Loki that you know?
So it's like, so casting Loki, I would have picked like a...
I'm ready for this.
Crispin Glover.
Hell yeah.
Right?
Perfect.
So just like weird and like yes. Weaselly. So when they came out with, you know, Tom Hiddleston, I had my issues, but then as soon as they showed him in the costume, then I kind of got on board.
Spoilers for anyone that hasn't seen American Gods. I'm about to say something. Fast forward. Okay. Isn't Crispin Glover Loki on American Gods?
So have you read the book?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay.
He could be.
I thought he was.
Yeah.
Like he's the... You read the book, right?
Yeah.
So the guy who is with... Shadow in prison, low-key Lie Smith.
Yeah.
I think Crispin Glover plays that dude, just disguised.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, like, he has a different form when he's in prison, and then when he gets out, like, it's Crispin fucking Glover.
Oh, that would be amazing.
I think, man. I don't know.
Because that was always, like, my dream casting.
I never got that. Loki's always in jail. Always in the cell.
Yeah.
Lock up, they won't let Loki out. Damn, we're covering all types of Loki today. I like it.
Yeah. So since awesome. You were little then, yeah. Like, yeah. You were a big fan.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he was funny. Like, he just made me laugh. Like, the stuff that he was like a little kid in like a man's body, like the way that he like reacted to
mischief.
Thor.
Right.
Yeah. He was just always fun. And you
not
never
to Dick
knew.
Thor.
You never knew what he was going to do.
Now, is this a series? Were you working at the shop when the series was coming out?
I think I started working at the shop a little bit after this came out. I started working at the shop whenever like Jason Aaron's Thor started coming out.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I don't remember what year that was, but it was a little bit after.
I remember when the series was coming out because I was reading the Thor series from 2007, which interestingly enough, you know, Thor is relaunched in 2007 by J. Michael Straczynski and Oliver Coypel. Mm-hmm. I want to say after like issue 12 of that series, it goes back to legacy numbering, starting with 600. And then when it hits 621, that's when this Journey into Mystery started, because they just completely rebranded.
Changed the title.
Yeah, they mm-hmm. completely rebranded the Thor series into this. And I think for a minute, the only Thor comic out at that time was like, I want to say like Mighty Thor or something like that. But this was like took the place of the primary Thor comic. And I remember it getting like a lot of love. Like there was a lot of people following along, and Kid Loki was like, you know, on all of the Marvel branding and stuff like that. Does anyone remember like when this kind of came out and whatnot?
No.
Okay.
That was my non-comic period.
I stayed away from Fear Itself.
That's definitely one of the weaker.
I saw that.
Jesus, dude.
I was like, mother.
Dude.
Yeah, I will. Yeah.
Everything about it, dude. The graphics, the way the font was for like the event itself, mm-hmm. like all of it was just kind of like, ugh. It's like, I thought Loki was trolling me. Like, I thought Marvel was
Ashley's the god of mischief.
Got you, Dick.
I will say, to launch to, because this is like Loki in the comic. This is like him coming back to life for like the second time. Because, you know, he comes back in that J. Michael Straczynski as female Loki, and then he dies, and then he comes back into this series. It wasn't like the smoothest transition, because it's like not only are we getting a brand new Loki, but it's also tied into a Fear Itself tie-in, which,
and,
you know.
And was Kid Kang before Kid Loki?
Shit.
That was around like the same time. It's like another?
It was
everybody
before.
Gonna be a kid?
It was before, because I was working at a video store when Young Avengers came out, and that was
there a Kid Red Skull? Did they do him? Is every villain going to be a child?
Like, it's like
conflicted child?
I really hate the Jewish people.
Oh, Kid
so
Red Skull.
Oh, maybe Kid Red Skull's like, they're not so bad.
Yeah. Shut up, Kid Red Skull.
Not so bad. I've been watching a lot of Mel Brooks, and I don't understand where all of this hatred comes from.
Kid Red Skull. Only Scott Young could make Kid Red Skull like, yeah. Kind of adorable. Well, then, Ed, how did this comic resonate with you? I mean, good, bad, and different. How'd you feel about it?
I did not want to read this at all. 100,000%. I read it last night. Probably the latest I could possibly do it before falling asleep.
Oh, shit. That was not wise.
I do not want to read this. And then I saw The Fear Itself, which I had no idea. I was like, I double fucking didn't want to read this. And then they start with the 8 birds bullshit. Neil Gaiman wannabe bullshit. I stopped reading it. The birds, like 2 pages of birds dying and eating eyeballs. I don't want to read this. I put it away. It's like, nope, I got it. We're recording tomorrow. I got to read this.
That homework guilt is strong.
I got all these Russian viruses from reading it online. Might as well power through it.
Were you familiar with the creative team?
I was familiar.
Karen Gillan.
The name was like, where did I hear that name from? And I remember Wicked and the Divine, which I read, which I liked. And Doug, I know his art because I know him through working with Alex Ross, through Earth X, through, you know, he's just one of those guys who doesn't have that mainstream popularity, but he's got more than enough of that talent.
Solid fundamentals. Super. In a way that you're like, okay, you went to the school of Neil Adams. Got it.
Exactly. And then it's like, this is the guy that, like, well, the art's nice.
The art's
really good.
If you like Astro City, you're going to fucking cream 100% your jeans over the art in this. For sure.
And I liked a lot of his other work, so it's like, well, at least it's pretty pictures, and I'll just get through it. But the more I read it, and I think once, you know, the more I started reading it, and then, okay, this is okay. And then, like, after that first issue where, you know, Loki kind of turns, where it's like, we're in a, you know, world of heroes. Somebody should be able, you know, he kind of breaks the fourth wall and turns back, you know, that very last page. It's like, somebody will fix things or somebody will make things right. It's like, okay. And then after that, I liked it. But yeah, I was not looking forward to this.
Yo, this is Botter. Sorry for interrupting this episode, but I'll keep it brief. I wanted to let you know about a massive sale we have going on over at the Short Box Store on all of our merchandise and apparel. That's theshortboxstore.bigcartel.com. You can now save 20% off your entire order using the discount code YO, YOO. So if you've been waiting for the right time to finally buy that gauntlet snapback, or if you ever wanted to buy any of the shirts you see me wear on the podcast, well, now's your chance to get them for a steal. We still have a few sizes left of everything, but they won't last long, and once they're gone, they are gone. And then I mentioned that all of our apparel is screen printed on high quality material. None of that heat transfer or direct to garment stuff. Our shirts are some of the most comfortable ones you'll ever wear, and the hats look even better in person. So wear your support for the Short Box Nation proudly, knowing that you're going to look damn good doing it. Get to theshortboxstore.bigcartel.com as soon as you can, and don't forget to use that discount code YO, YOO, to save 20% off your entire order. All of this information can be found in this episode's show notes if you want to get there faster. Thanks for not pressing fast forward. Now back to the show.
I read this on the plane back, and I was like, we'll see, because the bird shit also had me like, what is this? What is this? But it was, I think, the first issue when Kid Loki meets like the spirit of his older Loki in the style of the man behind the curtain.
Yeah,
I thought that was kind of cool. But I think my favorite part of all of this was
the ending
in issue one. In issue one, they provide a really tight like Thor timeline breakdown. Where it's like, anyone, I think, at that point could have read that little breakdown and then got spun up on everything Thor. But more so because I realized, like, damn, at that time, I was really heavy into Thor. Like, when they brought him back and J. Michael Straczynski's running from, like, there into, like, Siege and Lady Loki and all that stuff was, like, a good time period. So, like, rereading all that recap was like, damn, Thor, I was really heavy into Thor. So it was, like, a good reminder. To go back to the creative team real quick, Doug Braithwaite, hopefully I'm saying that right.
Yes.
I didn't know that
surprisingly.
I didn't know that he has been around since like 1989, doing stuff for 2000 AD.
Yeah.
And to your point, Ed, he's always been like, he's not like the first artist I think about, you know, when I'm thinking about like popular comic artists, but he's a very consistent guy. He's, you know, what would they call it in wrestling? He's a jobber. Would that be a proper term?
Jobber.
I mean, he's a worker. Talented.
Yeah.
He works.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm familiar with this stuff.
I appreciate that, though.
Wow.
Come on, give him a little something. Shout out to
River City Wrestling Con.
Maybe a mid-card guy, I would say. But not main event, but not jobber.
But I'm familiar with Doug's work from like from Valiant. Because he's done like a lot of work on like Ninjak, Bloodshot, Book of Death. Kieran Gillen, I'm familiar with. I think he's writing like the Eternal series that's out right now. And then he's also got a pretty series, I think, with Boom called Once in Future. That's like getting a lot of praise as well.
I've heard good things about that.
Yeah. Ashley, why do you like this series so much?
Because this is kind of like the start of like the Marvel, like the MCU Loki. Like everything past this is like a different Loki. And so this was kind of like my favorite, just the beginning of it. I just really like, and I agree with Cesar, I really like the little bits of like the the Norse mythology that they throw in there. The little scenes where like he gets thrown off the mountaintop the little scenes where he talks Thor into getting the goats, the teeth gnasher and teeth grinder. Stuff like that was my favorite part of this book.
I really liked his interactions with like some of the other characters, whether it was like with Thor or like the Warriors 3.
Falstaff, yeah, great.
Yeah, and even like the Hellhound. What was the name of the Hellhound? Hellwolf. Yeah, Hellwolf.
Yeah, Hellwolf.
I liked like the Kieran Gillen, I think, writes really good interactions and dialogue. Mm-hmm. I think like from a bigger picture, like scope wise or plot point wise, if you were to ask me like repeat exactly what the mission was for Loki, it's still kind of a little hazy because I think he goes through such a convoluted like series of like, you know, this leads to this and that leads to this. I think sometimes reading it, I got kind of lost of like, wait, what was the overall mission again?
Yeah, and it's weird sometimes that like he convinces, just for a pacing point of view, he convinces people a little too quickly about his plans, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like that everything he does like makes, he's going in an order, and this is what kind of separates him from the previous Loki, is because he's the one going headfirst into this. He's not getting someone else to do it for him while in the shadows. You know, he's not manipulating. So like, he gets the idea to get the Hellhound. He gets the idea from that story of the goats and to use that harness to tame him.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically he gets every part of that journey he gets from something else. So it all
leaves.
Moves in together. So I thought that was
pretty
clever.
Say it's like a web of lies he's building.
Oh. A journey.
I'm still getting warmed up. My first episode.
A journey into history, perhaps.
I feel like I've talked a lot about that. Let's talk about the good.
Are you still trying to sell this?
I'm going to sell it.
Oh, okay.
I'm bringing it around.
I missed another question.
I'm bringing it around.
Okay, bring it around.
I made a comment about Doug Braithwaite's art and saying that if you like Astro City, and any other thing that he's worked with as far as Alex Ross is concerned, this is your shit. This is your jam. Like, it is really good. So good, in fact, I don't even think they inked over it. Like, it looks like
it's like digital color.
It looks like
what it is. Okay.
It looks like it's just his pencils. And then
that's what Alex Ross did for Paradise?
He
did the pencils and Alex Ross painted over it.
There you go, man. It's fucking really, really good. I mean, if it's inked, then God bless the inker, because they did not go over any line
that
wasn't
sketchy quality.
Yeah.
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 Oh,
there you go. No inker.
I don't see no inker.
Yeah.
Colorist Ulysses Areola.
Yeah. So it's just the pencils.
Sexy name.
There you go. Ed, you dog.
Oh.
You hellhound.
So there's that. I like when the story like actually hits you, it hits hard. Like any of the stuff where like they're dealing with Surtur
or they deal with the Midgard serpent being thrown into that chasm, and he mm-hmm. has to fight his way out. It's very Conan-esque.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Which is, you know, also rooted in that sort of mythology. But Conan isn't the guy you would write fucking Shakespearean dialogue with. Like, none. I do not want to read a story where Thoth Aemon loftily describes the nature of reality by using birds as a fucking analogy for the human condition
by
regarding
Crom, these magpies.
Right. Different hells they have to go through to get them. Like, I get it. But that said,
I do like Newark, New Jersey being kind of like the mid,
That's rest area. Dude, that's fine. That's fine. Just felt like, so as far as good shit is concerned, I'll just say also that I think it's not fair to judge this story based on the fact that it appears in a Fear Itself tie-in. Because it seriously is a good story in that fucked upness, man. Like, actually, have you read any of the other Fear Itself shit?
No,
it's
haven't.
Horrible.
Because there are a few things that happen in these couple issues that are referenced like off panel, you know, in Fear Itself.
Good art, stories, drags a little. I do like the character design somewhat. I like Loki's character design a lot. Yeah. I like Kid Loki's character design.
I can see why Kid Loki was like a popular.
I don't like Hela's design. Sure. I know you do. You probably do.
I
do.
I love it.
I knew it. I was like. Ashley probably fucking digs this shit so hard. Like, I was watching, I was like just reading it, like, this is all her wheelhouse. Like, it's like if somebody got inside your brain and was like, redesign the Asgardian universe. And she's like, watch me go, guys.
I like the idea that this version of Loki still has like an uphill battle. And, you know, not only finding himself in this like new form, but also like, you know, having to deal with the fallout of, you know, being Loki.
Still hates
you know?
His guts.
Yeah, everyone hates his guts. And even though, like, he's supposed to be, like, you know, this little kid. Like, how do you hate this little kid? Like, well, I'll show you. I think that's
what endears him to Volstagg, where he sticks up for him. And when he says, oh, it was my plan. And it's like, look, I have kids. I remember you as kids. You know?
Yeah.
So that's a cool little twist. And another, just sorry, off the topic.
But yeah, no.
Another cool little twist is, like, how many times have we seen Thor go to Loki's as counsel when he's in jail, and then we see it reversed. I thought that was pretty fun little
Yeah,
twist.
I thought that was endearing. Yeah. Like, the fact that Thor still, like, has
like,
his...
How did
you
get here? It's like, I don't have time for a fanciful tale. Yeah. I need your advice. Yeah.
I did find that endearing that, like, Thor is still got his little brothers back, despite, like, them being... Asgard being in this situation because of Loki and whatnot. I thought that was pretty endearing. And the whole, you know, Loki finding his way to, like, hell and you know brokering this deal between Mephisto and Hela.
Which hell? Single letter?
They
single
even mentioned
it's
like one consonant is a lot of trouble.
I didn't think that this was slow pace. Like, I thought that this was really good. All those little, like, what you guys thought were tangents when it's like, oh, go to the demon and the exploding crow and the key, and like, I loved all that stuff. So I loved everything after that. So I don't know if you guys would like it. Probably
Ashley, not. Ashley is like, guys,
Loki's
slow down, all right? You need,
just
guys need to slow
it.
Down
it's
life.
Loki.
Enjoy life.
I mean, we only read the first six issues. This ran for how long? Like a good bit, right?
Yeah, because I kept kind of adding on to it. Like, whatever he thought he was writing, they kept giving him more and more books to add on.
Because I saw an interview with Doug, and he's like saying that when he took this gig, he's like, no one thought this was going to be a placeholder.
Let's pivot to the show. Ashley, based on the trailers that we have received, do you think the show will respect your time? Are you looking forward to seeing Tom Hiddleston reprise his role as Loki?
Oh, yeah, it's for sure. It's only six episodes, too.
And it drops Wednesday, not Friday. Which I thought was pretty cool.
So it's for sure going to respect my time. I've had a soft spot for Owen Wilson since Shanghai Noon back in the day. So I was really excited to see who's going to be on this. Yeah.
Shanghai Noon.
You remember Shanghai
Noon?
Movie.
Yeah, I remember like Jackie Chan saying he didn't want to do any stunts or any work.
What?
Yeah, he's like,
that's awesome.
Jackie, I don't want to.
Hey, Jackie.
I'm feeling it.
Jackie, good to see you. Yeah, I was wondering if like maybe like you do a lot of those like crazy kicks and like maybe I just sit back and just watch.
Yeah, pretty
like,
much.
Is that weird? Like maybe like my character's like a, he's like a guy that watches, you know?
I kind of like the idea of Ed doing more Owen Wilson impersonations for us. That was,
I don't know
that was
if that was
good.
Accurate.
Did you learn of any like Easter eggs or anything going on with the show? Maybe just, like, is there any chance of this being referenced at all based on what
just
we know?
A lot of rumors. I can see it being referenced since this is going to be a time time shenanigans show, essentially. Mm-hmm. So different timelines leading into different, you know, multiverses. We could see, you know, versions of Loki. We could see the old, you know, Kirby, Stan Lee era Loki. We can see
Longhorns.
Yeah, we can see, yeah, you know, thin lizard lip Loki. We can see Tom Middleton Loki.
Smoker's lips yeah. Loki.
And then we can see, you know, kid Loki. And there's, you know, there's nothing on IMDb yet as far as
who's playing
what. But there's rumors of the, you know, this one kid who's basically put up the poster and he's like, I'm in the show. And someone asked him if he was kid Loki. And he's like, can't wait. Didn't really answer it. But it's like,
so we might see kid Loki.
Yeah. So he's there.
Remember, you heard it here first.
Yep. That's awesome. Yeah, breaking news. And, but I can see him being in that and maybe going into that reality. Or I'm not sure how they're going to structure the show or if they're going to work together. If there's going to be like an episode where two different versions of Loki try to figure out whatever problem of the week they have or
maybe.
Whatever, you know, maybe. So I can't see them going full on.
It's strange that this show is the safest out of all of them.
Yeah.
And it's the one I'm the most excited about because it's been a show at least 5 times, maybe 20 times since TV has been invented, the criminal that they need, that the government needs to get the job done, you know, the bureaucratic entity needs to catch a thief. We need a thief. You know,
Silence
like
of the Lambs, we could do something.
It's you know, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's also like it's Loki being used right. Like he's the wild card. Like I didn't feel like he was the wild card in this comic.
That's what's hard about like a Loki based comic is like the essence of Loki is he is the wild card.
Right.
And it's whenever he's the center, like the main character, he's got to move the story forward and make the decisions and be like kind of the moral compass. That's why the best Loki stories are like the Thor stories when he can come in and mess things up go and like just fuck off and just he's gone.
Sure.
Like those are my favorite Loki stories. Like it's hard when he's the center of it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Just to go back, Jack Veal is the kid's name. As the kid who's like Instagram and Twitter, people were
so
speculating.
Say all kinds of horrible things to him.
Yeah,
if you want, just threaten his life. And
the thing with the kid Loki, I could see him also going into like, say, why not have him in Love and Thunder as a kind of a weird him in Thor, like an adult Thor and little.
Well, it would have to be like it. So
because this Loki
when I say
is like
kid Loki,
alternate timeline.
I don't want Loki as a child. I want fucking It's fucking Loki Lysmith, but he's stuck in the body of a child. So all of that malevolent energy is still him. All the experience he has being Loki is still him. He's just in a fucking little kid's body.
Yeah, and like I said, that and go back to the show. It's like I think they're planting this Young Avengers seeds so they can springboard off that.
Oh, shit.
Yes. We go back to our Young Avengers theory, for sure. Mm-hmm. The Loki that we're getting in this Loki series is based on the 2012 Avengers Loki. As soon as he's, apprehended, this is that Loki. So the Loki that we saw in Infinity War die, you know, that Loki is done for. And I think even Tom Hiddleston.
The Loki in Endgame where he gets the Tesseract and.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
That's this Loki in the time.
But that Loki is the one from Avengers.
Oh my god, it's gonna be like Terminator.
He's asshole Loki.
Yes, full asshole Loki.
Yeah, full murder. To murder a Jewish man in front of a bunch of people, and Cap steps in and saves him. He's like, "What did he say?" He was like, "We stood up to men like you," and he's just kind of like, "Learn from your elders." Yeah. And he's about to kill a guy. Yeah. Like Jesus Christ,
Cap tells him, "Some things never change."
Right.
Well, you know, Hiddleston was saying, because I think he recorded, he filmed his death scene in Infinity War in 2017. And he was saying, like, you know, it was really emotional. He had an idea that he was going to have a cameo in Endgame. But at the time, he didn't know that they had any plans for this Loki series. Matter of fact, I think the staff in general, like, didn't know until much later. I don't think they announced this series until, like, 8 weeks prior to Endgame or Infinity War coming out. So for even Tom Hiddleston, at some point, it was a surprise for him too, and I know that he's looking pretty. I know he's looking forward to this series.
And that was a big news thing when they announced the series that he was going to be in it. That was like,
I think it was one of the first. I think it was one of the first Disney Plus announcements made because it was like, oh no, the actors playing them in the movies.
Yeah,
you know, we're not getting some.
It's not Blade. It's not some other guy.
All right. Well, look, Ashley, I want to go to you to wrap us up for this segment. And are there any other Loki stories that are worth reading, whether it be in preparation for the show or maybe just because, you know, people like the show? What other Loki stories you got for people?
I mean, in preparation for the show, probably the Loki Agent of Asgard, because it's pretty recent. If you just want to read like a good Loki story with like the Norse mythology, the Trials of Loki is really good. It's got all that like heavy Norse mythology, like they like sew his mouth shut and like all that kind of like crazy stuff. But I'm like I said, my favorite Loki stories have always been like the Thor stories where he can just come in and be crazy. Yeah. And he's really just so unpredictable.
And that's cool, because that's even when young Loki is or kid Loki is talking to the spirit of the Obi-Wan hologram Loki. Mm-hmm. You know, he even says, like, why didn't you just hide under the carpet while the universe ended?
And yeah. Unpredictable. You
know? Which was kind of cool.
And then it was cool to see like a non-powered Loki just kind of manipulating thing just the words.
Yeah, it showcased like, his power is lying. His power is the tongue.
Hey, Thor. Hey, Thor, I got your dick.
Actually, I'll throw one in there. And it's not per se a Loki specific, but X-Men Asgardian War is one that I recommend. Because you get Chris Claremont writing. Mm-hmm. You also get like a crew of good artists like Art Adams actually doing interiors, Paul Smith. And I mean, it's essentially like the X-Men, Alpha Flight, and New Mutants like fighting, you know, Loki. So that's like an old school throwback one. Ed, see any Thor or Loki recommendations you guys would want to give?
Blood Brothers.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one.
I know it's Esad Ribic on art. Who's the writer?
Me, I wrote it.
Ah, nice.
I thought the name looked familiar.
I was the one that wrote it.
Ed, what about you?
Blood Brothers is pretty good. I'll have to second C's suggestion.
Okay, all right. Old guys teaming up this episode. Mm-hmm. Got it. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. All right. Well, Ashley, thank you so much for picking this. And before we go on break, I'd like to go to end this first half of the show spotlighting some newer comics that our listeners might be interested in. Shortbox Nation, I'm actually proud to reintroduce our new comic talk segment, now titled Fistful of Comics.
You can either have a mouthful of teeth or a fistful of comics.
It was formerly No Comic Shop for Old Men, but that was a mouthful, so Cesar came up with a much better name, and as you can tell, a much better bump as well. Well, I still like the old one, but another new bump.
You do like
well.
That old one.
I do like that one.
No Comic Shop for Old Men.
R.I.P. Rest in peace, No Comic Shop for Old Men. This is now Fistful of Comics going forward. So we're going to be talking about some new comics that you can go out and read and find in a local comic shop near you or digitally if that's your thing. This segment is brought to you by Gotham City Limit, Jacksonville's premier shop for comics, toys, collectibles, and more. If you live in the area, if you ever find yourself passing through Jacksonville, stop by the shop on Southside Boulevard and tell them the Short Box sent you. Ashley, let's start with you. We'll go around that way. What new comic are you going to spotlight today for Fistful of Comics?
So I got a Dark Horse comic this week. It's called The Worst Dudes.
I picked it up too.
It just looked like fun.
Same reason I picked it up.
Yep. Yeah. Did you read it yet?
Not yet.
It just had this warning on the outside of it that was like, there's going to be violence and bad words and all that kind of stuff. And it's just about a bunch of like really terrible characters that makes them just so likable. And it's really cartoon. It kind of makes me feel like I'm reading an Adult Swim cartoon. Like, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm not supposed to be watching TV. And yeah, you're waiting for your mom to walk over and tell you to turn it off and you're going to get in trouble. Like, that's how I felt reading this book.
Wait, can you go to the cover, see? Okay, so that warning label, this book contains odious language, wanton drug use, willful violence, unabashed
luxury. Wanton.
I'm hungry. All right, I'm recording.
I'll take the general's chicken and the wanton violence, please.
And generally loathsome behavior. And then in parentheses, Botter picked this shit up. That's why I picked it up.
I got it too. I haven't read it yet.
Ed, what about you? What new comic you got?
It is a couple weeks old, but cartoonist kayfabe fans will know Red Room has come out.
Yeah,
I could not find it at Gotham.
They sold out. The old said they well the store I went to they sold out. They're gonna order more for two. It's been way more a kind of a hit. Is Fantagraphics' biggest hit in a very long
time. Like it that first issue was like the highest.
Yeah,
maybe highest selling comic of theirs.
Pre-ordered it because I didn't know. Before they announced it was going to be in stores, mm-hmm. and I still haven't got my pre-order. Fantagraphics, come on.
I have heard that their shipping does take a long time.
Terrible. From what but it is, I wasn't sure about it, but I wanted to, you know, support the show.
Yeah, for sure.
And because it's like, this torture porny stuff, I'm not really a big torture guy. But reading this, it's like, this is like EC Comics, a modern take on EC Comics.
You son of a bitch. Because both of you guys are selling me on your shit.
Because it's a... If there's gore there, and there's like, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but it's so over the top, it becomes like when we did the Murray Severin, where it's so over the top, it becomes funny. It becomes almost like just gallows humor. You know, it's so over the top and weird. The story's actually pretty good. So if you took like an EC comic with some 90s aesthetic to it, it's printed on this like, you know, off-white color, off-white, you know, it's black and white within an off-white paper. It is a really beautiful comic. It's the craftsmanship is there. It's a pretty engaging story for what it is, for the subject matter, for a, you know, a crazy, and it's so over the top and ridiculous. The character's ridiculous. What's another selling point of this series is Ed Piskor said that it's each issue is going to be a self-contained story. So you don't have to pick up, like, issue two will be its own thing. Issue wow. three will be its own thing. Issue, you know, and I'm sure it's going to tie it up like maybe down the road after the first volume, or they'll revisit some of these characters. But it's a cool book. It's like if you're not too squeamish, and if you do like horror, and if you do like EC Comics, but you know, if you want to see a kind of like a modern take on it, I love it. It was like easy. It was like the last couple of weeks, this has been the comic.
Damn,
good stuff. And I know on his Ed Piskor's Patreon, he was releasing like one page a day as he was making it. So.
Yeah, and like the thing too, it's like it's such a strange model because the Patreon, he has this available in a printable size. So people would send the show like the comics printed out before the actual comic printed out.
Oh, weird.
So it's a strange business model.
Y'all bootlegging
you
your shit?
Yeah. He's like, send me those bootlegs, son.
He leans into it, and that's what I like about it.
He's a character.
Like,
yeah, he is a character. He's definitely that school of those 90s image guys. He's like, you're a character. You sell yourself as much as your work.
Damn. Thank you, Ed. That was a really good share. See, what do you got? What new comic you got?
Well,
to spotlight?
Speaking of TMNT.
Immortal Hulk.
Yes. No. It's,
I was waiting for you.
It's The Last Ronin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Issue 3 finally came
yes.
out.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's sweet. Are you reading The Last Ronin, dude?
I am, but I will admit, I don't think I picked up issue 3. You I was just looking at issue 2 today.
It's only like bitch. 6 months late.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people have probably damn. Forgotten.
So you hopped, hopped on The Last Ronin train?
Yes, I did, man. I like,
it's good.
I mean, I feel like, Ed, you might be the Turtles guy here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm slowly turning into Ed, man.
Like, I think so.
Wrestling?
I think so. Yeah. I don't know if that's...
Taking over.
I don't know if that's going to be... Yeah. I don't know if that's going to be beneficial to the show or the straw that broke the camel's back.
The short box NWO. We're taking over.
I'm losing
from the inside. Well, cue the Hendrix music.
It's a full moon tonight, brother.
Me and Ashley's show will be like if Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, Ashley's going to turn.
That'll be our show.
Oh, Ashley will turn heel on you real quick.
Will be like the Hulk
quick.
Hogan. She'll turn.
Really, Ashley? You would do that? Come on, I thought we had like
take those purrs and vitamins and shove them up your ass, brother.
That's right.
Word.
Yeah, so The Last Ronin, if you guys aren't aware, it is essentially a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic done by the original creators. They're writing it, and they have different artists on it. Not just one, it's crazy. Like, the art style will change real quick.
Keesman does the flashbacks.
Right, like, into the different, like, oh man, not all of them, though.
Have
you read three?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was gonna say I'm not trying to spoil it. Like, I don't want to spoil it. If anybody's reading it, it's fucking really good. They're on issue 3 by now, and essentially, it's like this is the Eastman Laird Dark Knight Returns version of the Ninja Turtles, and it's basically only one of the brothers is alive. He's outlived them all. I'm not gonna say how or why, and he lives in this dystopian world, and he's excellent with all the weapons because he's old enough now to have mastered all of the, you know, nunchaku, katana, bow staff, and of course the sai. So it's just really, really interesting to see. But it also is kind of tongue in cheek still, which is nice. Like, you're like, oh fuck, okay, yeah. I hate when people get too serious about the Ninja Turtles, man.
Yo, I'm glad you said that.
If you don't know that it's a fucking parody, like, it's supposed to be satire. Like, Eastman and Laird are not that they don't take their work seriously, but the idea that, yeah, we're in on the joke. It's a fucking love letter to Frank Miller, right down to the art style, you know? So anyway, I highly recommend The Last Ronin if you're a Turtles fan. Have you read the originals, man?
Outside of when we did that TMNT episode, I think I only read like the first five or six.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fucking way different.
Okay.
Fucking they killed the Shredder the first
yeah,
issue.
Yeah, yeah, that was
done.
Yeah,
well, they weren't planning more than one issue. Back,
yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, I want to check out those TMNT Legends issues that Ed, you were talking about a couple
of the Urban Legends. Yeah,
yeah, Urban Legends. Those look pretty fun.
Right. It's bonkers.
Dude. Yeah. So volume 2 just came out this last couple months.
Oh,
it's
tight.
Bonkers.
So I'll go ahead and I'll go ahead and champion a new comic by the name of Everfrost. Number one, it's by Ryan K. Lindsay and art by Sammy Cavella. It's published by Black Mask Studio. So this is like the first comic I've purchased from this
Potter,
publisher.
I've been waiting for this day.
Whoa.
You say that every episode. You say that every
Mask.
Episode. You say that every episode.
Look, what? If you have to ask yourself who the fuck Black Mask Studios is, you can just look at Potter and just tell him, hey, Cesar won.
Yeah, I've said that on the show that you've won.
Numerous times. Well, like, I've got a boner right now.
Put your pants back on.
Nice. Ashley looked at me like, really?
Well, look, so Everfrost, at the top layer, it's about a science warrior named Van Luis.
This looks cool.
Yeah, who simply wants to retire, get off planet as her society collapses, but then she unearths like this mystery involving the death of her son. But what I really like to describe it is what the writer had to say about it, Ryan K. Lindsay. He wrote, "This story came to me as a vision of a scientist walking through the snow when she's carrying a big sword and even bigger loss in her heart. As I unpacked what makes Van, our leading character, tick, I discovered a world of heartbreak and inequality amidst the chaos of futuristic technology, replacing ethics and strange creatures living among what's become of humanity."
Didn't we see this episode of Lovecraft Country?
So I saw this, I originally saw this comic in a solicitation in the latest previews when we were doing the our previews episode of Troy Jeffrey Allen. Shout out to Troy.
Shout out Troy.
And it caught my attention because the cover looks so badass. And I was hoping that the artwork cover matched the interiors. And of course it does. It's my first
That's
time reading.
Nice, man.
It is so welcoming. Because how many times have you been like juked, you know?
Dude, it's like when
who the
you...
fuck is this guy inside?
Well, it's when you like, you meet a celebrity and like, you know.
What's that like?
Every Alex Ross cover I've ever seen.
Yeah, shit.
What?
Yeah. So it's my first like introduction to I think I've read some stuff by Ryan K. Lindsay.
Yeah, the name's familiar.
But it's my first time with the artist Sammy Cavella. Hopefully I'm saying that right. But art looks fantastic. Story's really nuanced. I'm kind of curious to see how it goes. Because it's a lot in that first issue. Like they set up this entire world and just like a lot to take
does
in.
Does the monkey talk?
Yes, he does.
Yes,
and he, of
sold.
Course, is, you know, of course, he's got like an attitude. So he's a lot of fun.
Monkeys with attitude.
Yeah. So check it out. Everfrost number one on Black Mask Studio. I'm going to go ahead and take the reins. Wait, what did you say? Yes, he is an MWA. That's good. Let's go ahead and go on a quick music break, a Shorebox Nation.
Better be quick.
Shorebox Nation, we got some music brought to you by Mecca.
We're back, everyone. Bonner couldn't make it.
No,
he's dead.
I'm still here. I'm trying to get us to our music break. But look, we got some music from Mecca the Marvelous. I want to play, and then we'll come right back to... we got some emails, and of course, we got Champion Season,
yeah.
Which is now sponsored by a new sponsor who's making their debut. So you have to tune in, right? So let's go ahead and a quick music break. We'll be right back. Short Mike's Nation, we are back. Once again, that was music by Mecca the Marvelous. You could check out his Bandcamp using the link in our bio. Go ahead and check out some music he's got for sale and support our man Mecca. So we do have an email. We got one email from our boy Malcolm Jackson.
Okay.
We got a pretty lengthy voicemail from our guy Corey Torgerson, which I think I'm gonna play as the outro, just because we got to get the Champion Season. But I want to go ahead and play Corey.
We'll put a nice musical bit underneath it because it's long. You might as well have something nice to listen to while it's there.
But he does champion some things that Ashley has brought up. He brings up Ultra Omega, which me and Ed have been brought up. So Corey listens and he writes in and tells us how good the stuff we talk about is. So shout out to Corey. But the only thing I want to mention before I get into that email is that Rob Liefeld will be visiting Jax in July. What? No, July 10th.
He's doing a Florida tour.
Guys,
a tour.
Why are we not going?
Him and Jim Starlin were at like Universal Studios.
I am going. Yeah, for the Avengers Campus.
Wait, okay. When is this?
So, if you, well, I mean, this is kind of only applicable to folks here in Florida, so sorry.
Fuck everyone else.
Regional.
No, actually, shout out to our Canadian listeners. We've had a huge bump in Canadian listeners.
Wow. Oh, Canada.
But July 10th and 11th, I don't know if it's hosted by Coliseum Comics. I just noticed that he's coming to two of their locations.
Oh, shit, here.
Yeah, July 10th. Yeah, and July 10th, Kissimmee, and then July 11th. Here in Jacksonville at the Coliseum opening up on Oakleaf.
Yeah, look, the new Oakleaf.
Rob Liefeld, friend of the show.
So,
Rob,
you know, yeah. I shot my shot. I was like, yo, stop on the show when you come through.
You know, our 300th episode, you know, we did have a special shout out from him. So. Right.
Our good buddy, Rob
Good
Liefeld.
Friend of the show, yeah. Rob here, Liefeld.
And you know what? I'll be kind. It's for Rob Liefeld's X-Force 30th anniversary tour. Wow, 30 years. He's doing it all through July. So July 9th, he'll be at Emerald City Comics in Clearwater, Florida, Kissimmee, Florida, Coliseum of Comics, and then Jacksonville, Florida. And then his last stop is July 16th and 17th at Big Apple Comic Con in New York City. So there you go. Short Box Nation, if you truly love us and care for us, help us get this Rob Liefeld interview. Shoot him a Twitter.
Hit
him
up on Twitter. Necessary.
Yo, by any means, go to his house. Hit me up for the address. Hit him up on Instagram. Let him know that you want to hear him on the Short Box. That would be pretty awesome if we can get him on the show. I'll leave it at that. And then let's go read this email from my guy, Malcolm Jackson. I'll pass it over to Cesar. Do the honors.
All right. A Jurassic Ass Champion season. You hear me? Not hold on. Wait. What am I doing? What? I'm doing it wrong. Hold on, yeah, Malcolm. Yeah. Here we go. I'm going to do you right, buddy. Ready? A Jurassic ass champion.
Whoa.
Yeah, hear me, not heard me. What's going on, Shortbox? It's been a while on my end, but I just wanted to check in and maybe bring something to the table for champion season. The Jurassic Park / World franchise is arguably my favorite franchise of all time. To keep it a buck with y'all. And I just so happen to have two champions. First off is the incredibly dark children's show. I've heard about this. Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous, seasons 2 and 3. I think I championed it before, or maybe it was Ed. This series is so bonkers, so well written, and brings the horror elements that we love from the franchise. It's still shocking how this is a kid's show. My final champion gives me an excuse to talk coasters. Thank God. The Jurassic World Velocicoaster at Universal Islands. Sorry. I'm thinking of something else. There's a movie that came out called The Velocipaster. And it's very funny. It's funny as shit. Malcolm, you might want to watch The Veloci. It's an Australian movie, so it's like The Velocipaster.
Amazon Prime, I think.
It is on Prime.
Yeah.
The Jurassic World Velocicoaster at Universal's Islands of Adventure is an absolutely insane experience for both coaster enthusiasts and Jurassic fans. Basically, Jurassic World decided to literally put an intense 70-mile-per-hour four-inversion double-launching coaster inside the Raptor paddock with Raptor Pack from the film. This ride technically takes place during the first film, or before the first film.
And continuity?
Yeah. Wow. I know, right? That's the theme of the ride. There are Easter eggs galore from all the films, including the greatest of all time, Mr. DNA. Bingo. It's a bit of a ride. You also come face to face with real raptors who you can feel breathing and staring you down. Is this a fucking ad for real? Universal? Yeah. Does he work for Universal Studios?
I think he works at every single theme park. Yeah.
Launching from 0 to 50 in 3 seconds, maneuvering through the raptor paddock, and when you think there's a second to breathe, you're hit with a launch up to 70 miles per hour in 2 seconds. I'm going up 155 feet in the air for the second portion of this coaster, where it really goes batshit, including a 0G heartline roll, only a few feet above the water upside down, with only a lap bar and no seatbelts.
Oh. Fuck that.
Yeah. It's a love letter to coaster enthusiasts. Jesus, man. I have
shot out of that like a cannon. Jesus.
I could barely go on the teacups with my back surgery.
Oh. At the end, does that one dinosaur spit acid in your face?
Dude.
Like, just
It's just asking one lucky rider. Yeah, not everyone.
I'll be the guy going, stick, stupid, stick, go get the stick. Yeah, no wonder you're extinct.
Yeah, that's fucking funny.
It's a love letter to coaster enthusiasts and a love letter from Universal for those who missed the old Dune Dragons. This is more than a worthy replacement. I'll cut it off here. You're going to cut it off here, Malcolm?
Thank
after
you
five
so much,
fucking
Malcolm.
Miles of email? I'll cut it off here. But I still appreciate you guys for keeping it geeky. And don't forget to have a Jurassic Day here at... Ah, fuck, there's raptors in here. Gotta run. He actually wrote that. Hold on. Check it out.
Yeah, no, that's legit. Oh, Malcolm nice. Goes all the way. He's talking about delivery.
He commits, that's for sure.
Yeah, shout out to Malcolm.
Thanks for the email, Malcolm.
And I'm sure our Florida listeners are pretty hyped for this ride. I know Blythe wants to get a trip down there.
I remember Dueling Dragons.
I remember that, too.
Yeah. Which I won't be participating on.
I'm not a roller coaster guy.
Me neither.
I can't do it anyway because of my back surgery. So
I mean, I don't like doing it because I have motion sickness, but I get coerced.
Yo, this guy gets motion sickness.
It's the most loser ailment I've got, for sure.
Don't move too fast. I'll throw up.
Yeah, so shout out to Malcolm. And if anyone else hops on this Velociraptor ride, I'd love to hear if you make it out alive. That'd be great to hear. So
nice.
And yeah, so that is
sign a waiver to ride on.
Yeah, for sure. The no seatbelt part.
Malcolm,
the shit
since
out
you're
of.
Such a like theme park aficionado and enthusiast and coaster enthusiast, I would love to see if you could design a I listened to the short box t-shirt and all I got was this crummy t-shirt, you know, like one of those, like I listened to the podcast and all I got was this t-shirt, you know, I survived the short box in Jurassic Park font. So that way we can double get in trouble.
And I mean, you guys know, like that is Malcolm's bread and butter is making some dope ass like clothes and stuff. So Malcolm, we can chat. That's a good idea.
I'm just saying, I'm throwing it out there. Also, I'm glad that he appreciates my defunct land references.
So shout out to Malcolm. And once again, like I said, I've got a voicemail from Corey. I'm going to play it at the end of the show. But
man, nobody want to hear that man talk with his sweet ass hair.
Yeah. And of course, he's got like, he put on his beard.
And
he put on his best baritone voice for this voicemail, too.
Oh, yeah. He knows what he's doing.
But
short box, how's it going?
Yeah. But what I want to commend them and also reward them too is because I want to get more emails and you know hear from our listeners and whatnot. So Malcolm and Corey, what I'm going to do is as a thank you for sending in content this week, I'll send you guys a digital copy of that Image Grand Design.
Oh, thank God.
Book.
I don't know what you're going to do. I just got back from the islands. I don't know, man. He's like, being a listener, I'm going to send you a copy of my dick. Oh. It's a digital. Jeez. It's a high-res picture.
Wow.
I'm going to give you some...
A gift that keeps on giving.
A kilo of Coke. Thank you so much. But Malcolm, Corey, I'll shoot you guys over a digital copy of the Image Grand Design book, which we put a spotlight on 2 episodes ago when we had Eli Schwab on the show. So look for that in your inbox. Keep the emails coming. Keep the voicemails coming.
Why do people listen to us? I'm so sorry. I just realized we are very, very, very crass.
You think? but they love it, though. So what I will say, if you're interested in shooting us an email, maybe sharing a champion, you could write us in to our inbox at theshortbikejacks@gmail.com, or you could leave us a short voicemail at 904-580-4095. Yo, real quick, I forgot to tell you something. I got a email from Google Voice. It was like, hey, you haven't used your Google Voice number in a minute. You know, please log in and at least, you know, use it so you don't lose it, right? So I log in and, you know, I see Corey's voicemail and I'm like, okay, cool, that's cool. And I got another voicemail and I think it was from someone that might have like maybe dialed the number wrong. And I was like, well, I think Cesar's long Joker voicemail stuff.
Oh, my God.
Dude, the only thing they left for the voicemail was, what the hell? I'll play it when we're done. But that is all awesome. They left. And it was from a number I didn't recognize. I was like, who the fuck called it us? And they're like, what the hell? So shout out to them. Let's go ahead. I think we're at a good stopping point, man. Let's go ahead and get to wrapping up this episode with our last but not least our champion season. And this one, like I said, man, in the intro, this is a special champion season because from here going forward, this segment is brought to you by a new sponsor of the Short Box Podcast, Black Hive Tattoo, Jacksonville's premier appointment-only custom tattoo studio. If you're searching for a group of talented artists who will work with you to bring your comic culture ideas to life, you know, look no further. Go to blackhivetattoo.com and sign up for their newsletter to find out when they're taking new project requests. Big shout-outs to Black Hive Tattoo. Big shout-outs to Nick Wagner, who's not only a friend of the show, but I think one of, like, the first interviews I ever did when it came to the show. I think it was, like, episode 3 or 4. I can't recall. But it's a good look, man. Black Hive Tattoo has done some incredible comic book related and, you know, kind of nerdy overall tattoos. I'll be sharing some of those pictures, but we're really excited to have a new sponsor on the show, and especially, you know, sponsor champion season. It's one of my favorite segments of the show. So good luck on them. And every week they'll also be chiming in on champion season and sending something that they want to share. So, but for those of you tuning in for the first time, champion season is the part of the show where we highlight other worthwhile entertainment and recommendations that we feel deserves your attention. These can be much more than comics, but include our movie picks, TV series that we really like, maybe books we've started or video games we're playing. Really, it could be anything else that we're hyped on this week. I'll go ahead and kick it off with Cesar. What are you going to champion today?
Oh, shit. No, I, so two things, and they're both related to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. One of them is the cartoon from 2012. It only lasted, it lasted 5 seasons.
Oh, yeah.
And it is.
The CGI one?
Yes.
Ah, yeah.
Did you watch it?
A little bit of it, yeah.
It's good, man. Yeah. I got the art book, The Art of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'll bring it in next time. It's fucking awesome. This guy is like maybe 4 years older than we are. And the showrunner, I think his name is Ciro Nielli, and he talks about like growing up in Philly and being a real big fan of the actual like 1984 first issue, to the point where like he worked at a Philly cheesesteak shop and a pizza joint, and he would draw the Ninja Turtles on people's receipts, and you know, because it was his it was family owned, so he was like the kid that was the clerk. So he's this young kid drawing on people's, you know, receipts, like here you go, have a good day, or cowabunga, or stuff like that. You know, it's real cute. And he fast forwards to like 2007, where he's working at Nickelodeon, and they're like, hey, Nickelodeon got the rights to the Turtles. We're thinking of doing a cartoon. He's like, I'm your fucking guy. Like, please, I've been dreaming about this. So up until that show, the Turtles hadn't really had anything as far as defining them differently physically, right? And he was the guy that basically was like, well, Donnie will be tall and lanky, and he's got like a little gap in his teeth, right? And, you know, maybe Mikey Schell is bigger than him because he hasn't grown out. He's the youngest, so he hasn't grown into it yet. And Raph looks more hulking like the Eastman Laird, you know, Turtles. And he's a big fan of John Carpenter. He purposely designed Casey Jones to look like Kurt Russell in the Disney movies because they're all teenagers, to include April and Casey. So he's like, well, I'm gonna make him look like Kurt Russell. And the bicycle that he rides is called the Pork Chop Express. It's a Big Trouble in Little China reference. Like, it's all there. But also the comic shit. Like, he yells Goongala like really loud before he whoops ass on. And it's just, it's a great show. And the book makes the show even better when he breaks down every page. Like, here's my character designs for Leo. Here are my character designs for this person that, you know, it's supposed to be a Chuck Norris tribute. And all of the, you know, the fake cartoons that they watched, the shows within the shows, are like, Leo is, you know, like, how do I make Leo the leader, right? Like, it's like, oh, well, he can't just, you know, other than just like, he's the turtle with the blue bandana, or he's the turtle with the orange one. It's like, Leo is a big Star Trek fan. He's a Trekkie. And he models his leadership style after Captain Kirk. So there's this fake show called Space Heroes, and it's like Star Trek the Animated Series. Like, it's all like,
stilted,
like really, really shitty super animation. Cheap, yeah. Yes, it's awesome. And he'll be like, he's got such a boner for Captain Ryan, is the name of the guy. And he's like, Captain Ryan would definitely say this. And we must, you know, until the mission is whatever. And Raph will just look at him like, shut up. Which is beautiful because Sean Astin does the voice of Raphael. Jason Biggs is Leonardo. Which you wouldn't think the guy from fucking American Pie, the pie fucker, would make a great Leonardo. But he does. He's fucking awesome. There's a lot of really cool cameos. Lewis Black does a voice on the show. It's such a fun show. I don't get tired of watching it. I'm already on the second season. I can't stop. Heroes in a Half Shell, guys.
Damn.
Turtle power.
Good pick. Ed, what about you? What are you going to champion today?
So another thing, turn 30 years old, is I'm going to champion that I revisit is MTV's Liquid Television.
Oh, shit!
Jesus, 30 years old. Okay, so
yeah, boy.
Anytime someone asks me why my tastes are so weird and strange, what the fuck's wrong with you, I will point to Liquid Television and say, look at that, and that'll explain everything. And like I said, it's just such a... I mean, the big things, you know, that's, you know, Mike Judge's start.
Sure.
You know, Beavis and Butthead, the Office...
It, Spike and Mike Animation Festivals.
Yeah, Spike and Mike, yeah, like the Office Space shorts. Aeon Flux, Peter Chung,
yeah,
kind of
boy.
Got his career really going there. And then there's artists that I've really liked that had their starts there. You know, Bill Plimpton, the famous animator.
Met him.
The
nice
first
guy.
Time, yeah, first time seeing his work. Seeing like a, you know, Charles Burns getting kind of, he was like the dog boy. That weird dog boy segment was based on one of his comics, and he's one of my favorite artists. Richard Sala, you know, some of his stuff. So it's like such a lot of that stuff at the time I didn't know, but going back, it's like, oh yeah, this is how, you know, I came to like this guy. This is where I've seen this guy's work before. This is where I've seen this guy's work before. So just that really eclectic, bizarre kind of a, you know, anthology show. It's just such a, I think, a big influence on like this generation, like kids who grew up in those 90s kids that kind of developed this, you know, bizarre aesthetic. You know, it's such a groundbreaking show, in my opinion. So it's like I said, yeah, that just, I think this last week or the week before, it was like the 30th, you know, it's been 30 years since it debuted, like in 91, I believe. So
yeah, the yeah, head, man.
The head. Yeah. Like I said, they came back with, you know, the Max, the head, the yep. Oddities Hour. And they kind of, yeah. So it's a lot of cool stuff and a lot of cool names, you know, attached to that. Yeah. So yeah, that's my champion. Just revisit that if you're not familiar with it.
Mm. Good stuff. Did MTV do, did they make any announcement or celebrate in any way?
I didn't see it through MTV because I'm not really sure what MTV is now, you know, as a
Paramount. Brand.
Yeah, or is like what if, they do.
Oh,
yeah. What are yeah. They not really music? They're not.
You know, I think all they do is do reruns of
like reality shows.
Yeah, like Real World Challenge, all that stuff.
I saw it through like just other, like kind of one like one of those retro Instagram things. It's like, oh, Liquid Television 30 years ago.
It's damn.
Like,
Jesus. Okay. Good stuff, Ashley. What are you going to champion today?
I'm going to say something nice about Jeff Lemire.
What? Shit. You love his art now?
I'm going to say he's a hell of a writer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Sweet Tooth came out on Friday on Netflix.
Oh, wow. I heard about that.
It was so good.
That's Robert Downey Jr.'s company doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It was 8 episodes.
Wait, oh, did it? So he dropped all at once?
Netflix, yeah, whole thing. 8 episodes. Thing. Already finished it. It was, I know I'm never going to read the comic, but just the show, it was so good.
I started actually reading the comic.
Did you?
Yeah. I mean, Jeff Lemire, art's not the.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, art isn't my cup of tea, but you know, the story's really good. Mm-hmm. And I think actually out of all of us, you are probably the best one that keeps up with all the comic shows. Because you wrapped up Jupiter's Legacy the same week and now Sweet Tooth.
That's true. Yeah. I think season 2 got canceled of Jupiter's Legacy. Yes,
but another one.
I heard that.
Super Crooks.
Crooks.
Yeah.
Animated.
So Sweet Tooth.
It was so good. I couldn't stop watching it. I watched all 8 episodes. I finished it last night. It was so good.
Word. I had heard people saying that they changed like the tone of it. So like for some people it was like, well, this is how the comic book, like, did you, well, I guess you didn't read the comic. So
no, but there's always people that are going to do that for everything.
Fair enough. All right. Word. I'm going to go ahead and champion two things. One is something that has completely obliterated my bank account, and that is the Marvel Legends Age of Apocalypse Wave 2.
Oh.
Yo, look, it comes with 7 you know, figures like most of their lines do. And of course they got a Build-A-Figure. The Build-A-Figure for this wave was Age of Apocalypse Colossus. I mean, if you know me, I love Colossus. He's my favorite X-Men. So to have a Build-A-Figure based on his Age of Apocalypse.
Did you just get the whole set?
Yes, I did. Wow. Which was really stupid.
Wait, you bought it already?
Yeah, I cannot believe I put it in my business.
And went to Belize? Oh, what is going on here?
I'll tell you what's going on here.
I'm indebted. I'm indebted to the mob.
We need to talk off
air. I'm indebted to the mob. Well, here's the thing. I was like, yo, I really want this Build-A-Figure. There's no way I'm going to be able to get it.
Find it, yeah.
Especially if, like, you know, like if it lands on eBay, it's going to be stupid expensive.
Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
Yeah,
whatever you got to say to keep yourself sleeping
but, yo, look,
soundly.
You get Age of Apocalypse, Magneto, Rogue, Cyclops, Sabretooth, Iceman, Shadowcat, Leap. Like, what?
You got one-handed Wolverine, right?
How much was it?
No, there was an Age of Apocalypse Wave 1 that came out.
Oh, okay.
last year. Oh, and it had one-handed apocalypse or one-handed Wolverine. So
I got that one.
Wave two came out. I had to. I just had to. It was like Colossus build a figure. I had to.
You
like,
still haven't answered. How much is it?
You don't want to know. I don't want to
like
repeat.
$25 a piece.
Let's let the listeners do the math. All right, yeah. They can.
Seven
that's cool.
Figures?
Yeah.
It saves me going.
Or I'll just go on Amazon right now.
Well, that leads me to say that if you are interested in collecting any of these. I know that the pre-orders are available on Amazon and Entertainment Earth. They come out fall 2021, and I think the pre-orders are already like done for. I'm not sure. C's looking it up. He's going to blow up my spot and let you guys know how much I stupidly decided to buy a whole set for. And then last thing I'll champion, which kind of falls in line with the Jeff Lemire thing you brought up, Ashley, I finally got around to reading Sentient, written by Jeff Lemire and art by Gabriel Walta. I don't remember if it won an Eisner that year or if it was nominated.
That's a TKO book, right?
Yeah. Published by TKO in December 2019. It's taken me this long to read it. I don't know what compelled me to bring it on vacation, considering I went to like somewhere tropical and this is like takes place in space and like the cold, dead space. But I will say it was so immersive, I really forgot I was on vacation. It's a great, great comic book. It takes place on this colony ship called the USS Montgomery. Cesar, it was $200+. All right.
No! There you go.
It costs way too much money. All right. No, I'm saving you time.
I'm right here.
All right. Go ahead. But
it just says Botter's dumb. That's weird. It's bizarre. That's odd. I don't know.
We discounted it after Botter ordered it.
Yeah.
That's bizarre. It's very specific.
I understand.
If anyone's looking for any of these figures loose, I'll sell it to you for a good deal. I don't need all of them. I just wanted to build a figure.
Why are you saying if anyone's looking for these figures loose, like I'm not sitting next to you? Like you're not gonna get a fucking bid from Hot Boy Cordero 81.
That's you?
You'll be like, hey, I got a bid on this. I'll be like, yes, you did.
I'm like, see, you just text me. Back to Sentient. It takes place on this colony ship called the USS Montgomery, and the plot really gets set off when a lone separatist kills all the adults on board the ship in deep space, and the onboard AI Valerie now has to help the ship's children survive the perils of space. Of course, they're pursued by dangerous forces, and it challenges this AI to become more than what she was originally programmed to be. It is, and what I'll say about Gabriel Walta, which if you've ever read like the Vision series he did, the Vision series, I feel like he's in this comic he stepped it up. Like he is channeling like Kirby and John Romita Jr. And I know that's like kind of blasphemous considering how great those guys are, but Gabriel Walta is bringing like his A++ game on this. So I recommend Sentient. It is fantastic and definitely lives up to the hype that everyone was talking about 2 years ago as I'm finally catching up. Well, those are my champions. We've got one more champion to share, and it comes from our sponsor of this segment, Mr. Nick Wagner over there at Black Hive Tattoo. He wrote in and wants to champion Last Night in Soho. He says that he saw the preview for the movie Last Night in Soho with Anya Taylor-Joy from Queen's Gambit and The Witch. He writes that he saw the preview for the movie. It looks super creepy. It starts out looking like a Hitchcockian time jump thriller, but takes a turn for the creepy. I'm really looking forward to it, and I can't wait.
This is Edgar Wright's new joint, by the way.
Oh,
for those that aren't,
okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
So like Nick is a purveyor of all things scary.
For sure.
Clearly. And it's interesting that Edgar Wright is doing a straight up horror as opposed to like some sort of spoof of it, you know? So I'm stoked about it. Plus I kind of got a thing for, you know, her, even though she's got those frog eyes. Don't matter. Don't matter.
Ribbit, ribbit.
I decided to watch the trailer, and it does kind of fall in line pretty close to what Nick was saying. At first I was like, oh, this is okay. This looks cool.
This looks like a movie I will not be watching.
By the end of it, I was like, well, nope. I'll just listen to C and Nick's
review. Tell me how it is.
Yeah. So once again, Nick Wagner from Black Hive Tattoo is going
to
champion.
If you are a listener and also happen to have the pleasure of being Botter's friend, if you could, please trick him into watching a scary movie with you. Like, trap him in your house. Pretend you're going to watch a sweet-ass documentary.
Get one of those Clockwork Orange machines.
Shoe culture. Yeah, on shoe culture and hip-hop. And he'll just come over with like some popcorn. Like, guys, I'm really ready to watch this documentary on shoe culture, hip-hop, and cocaine. Let me see how this works.
That's weird. This is titled Conjuring. Is that a sneaker?
Why is this movie called Cannibal Holocaust?
Oh.
Is that the hip-hop band? I heard of these guys.
Look, I'll
say
this.
Great Inferno. That sounds great.
I don't do much. I don't like jump and you know, I don't do like the jump scares. It's just that shit lingers in my head for like weeks. And that's all I think about is like, yeah, that shit could really happen. What if I was in that situation, you know? So that's, yeah, that's why.
Hey, look, somebody could get shot and then come back from the dead as a weird ass zombie, and they could come and get you at your house. They,
yeah, 100%.
Hey, Butter. Got your dick, buddy.
No problem. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's time to wrap up. It's time to wrap up. Well, look, my champions and, of course, Black Hive Tattoos champions brings us to the end of the show. So there you have it, Shortbox Nation. Thank you guys so much for kicking it with us this week. I want to keep the conversation going, so feel free to reach out to us on social media or send us a short email to our inbox at theshortboxjacks.
Short email.
At theshortboxjacks at gmail.com. If you end up reading Journey into Mystery, issue 622 through 626, let us know what you think. I'd be curious to hear from you guys to talk about the Loki comic. And, you know, of course, this episode comes out the same day as Loki episode 1, so I'd love to hear what you guys got to think about Loki episode 1. Next week, we'll be doing another Short Box Stories episode. So we'll be covering some of the latest headlines and announcements in the comic book world. So that'll be next Wednesday. Make sure you subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast app. But if that's too long for you to wait, man, consider joining our Patreon community. We just dropped a Spawn bonus episode as part of our new spinoff podcast series, Pilot's License, where we watch classic comic book themed cartoons and animated shows. We did one on Todd McFarlane's animated Spawn show. So that's on our Patreon, patreon.com/theshortbox. Actually, Ed, see, any closing remarks? I got links to your pages and artwork in the show notes for anyone interested. Are you guys doing commissions or anything?
Not now. I'm behind.
I'm always open if they're cool
open
enough.
For suggestions. Yeah. I'll leave the message for sure.
So if someone wanted, would you do a doing a Loki print?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So if someone hit you up, was like, "Yo, I want to do a Loki print."
Sure. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say, the weirder the better, everyone. The weirder the better.
And I'll go to say this: if you live in Jax, River City Wrestling Con would be this Saturday. If this show comes out Wednesday, this Saturday is River City Wrestling Con. It's gonna be this whole weekend. Me and Ed will probably be there for sure, doing some interviews and hanging out. So make sure you check that out.
Get Kane to give me a shout out. That'd be awesome.
Yo, that'd be tight.
He's like a mayor in Tennessee.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yes.
7-foot mayor.
Jesus, man.
So shout out to Nick Bate, who's running River City Wrestling Con. Like I said, that's a whole weekend thing. So if you're a wrestling fan, I know he's put a lot of love and care into it. He's
shout
got a big
out to
name.
Nick, and also maybe a glossy with an autograph, maybe. 8.5 by 11 glossy with an autograph.
All right. Mick Foley will be there. Maybe. He announced that.
Yep.
So that'd be
him
cool.
Too. Don't forget your friend.
Okay. So do you want me to remember all the shit talking you've done on this episode? That or Saturday, or just hold
yo,
up.
Yo, Debs was just jokes, son.
Previous 300 episodes.
Yo, Debs was jokes.
It was just now.
All right. Come on, man. Come on. So. Hey, man. Those are jokes.
That's what we got.
I got you.
That's what we got for you this week, Shortbox Nation. You guys take care of yourselves. I'm sorry. That's what we got for you this week.
No. Shortbox Nation. Bye, everyone.
In the meantime, take care of yourselves. Have a great week. And please continue to make mine and yours Shortbox. Peace.
What up, Shortboxers? It's your boy, Corey T, calling in because I haven't spoken at you in a while. Wanted to leave a couple of champions. First off is going to be the Vore Trilogy by Brian Catling. Ashley Lanny Hoy recommended this to me a year ago, and I just recently finished the first audiobook. It is really fascinating, particularly if you have a great background in Christianity and Catholicism. And see, I think you would really like this. And I honestly think you should check it out solely because I think there are deeper roots in Judaism than I can pick up on. But they do at least kind of hint to each one of those different religions. Second off, I'm going to champion Ultra Mega. Man, it is weird. It is wild. It's this very like Japanese feeling, very unexplained. Nobody knows what's happening, but it's like if Ultraman met Evangelion. Just super sick and twisted. Lastly, if you haven't, go read Berserk. Kentaro Miura just passed a couple weeks ago, and do yourself a favor and read some really amazing literature. There's like 8 omnibuses out there right now, so check it out. Anyways, take care. Keep mine short boxed.